Hey everybody, this is DJ Q for the Golf News Met Radio Network. We now return you to Jay's Place, already in progress.
All right, thank you, DJ Q, for bringing us back into the show. I am Jay Flemmer of the Golf News Net Radio Network, and you are listening to Jay's Plays. Thank you all so much for tuning on in. Jay's Plays is brought to you by JB's Best Hot Sauce. It's the best, the boldest, the spiciest, and the most flavorful hot sauce you'll ever have. Give it a try today. And that's exactly what we're going to try to do with our guest here, Alan Tadeau. Alan, you're going to get a chance to win a bottle of JB's Best and a t-shirt if you can get the trivia question right. So are you ready to go?
I'll give it a whirl.
Okay. Your topic is pop culture and television.
Wow.
Oh, boy. That doesn't sound good.
This will be interesting.
All right, we'll give it a shot. So, on Game of Thrones, this gentle giant who can say only one word, his name, has one duty: take care of the Stark family children. Who is he?
No idea. I do not watch, you know, that kind of television. I mean, I just don't. I'm sorry.
He's become a bit of a instant celebrity because he's able to, first of all, he's also 7'6". Okay, that's part of it too. But he conveys a lot of emotions through one word, his name, Hodor. We were looking for Hodor.
Oh,
so,
sorry.
Very popular and lovable character. I guess it's pretty easy to communicate when you have one word. But he does a good job. But it's actually a great show, so you might want to tune in and see if you catch him sometime. So, it's a good show. We're big Game of Thrones fans here, so.
Great.
Anyway, all right, so getting back into the real reason why we have you on the show. Let's talk a little bit about one of the other great USGA championships, the Mid-Amateur Championship, which is coming this year as well. Going to be it's another one of those terrific amateur championships for players that are just over the age 25 outside of college, and it'll be held at Stonewall Links. And you've played in the Mid-Am, so tell everybody what it's like.
Well, I mean, it's basically the U.S. Amateur Championship for people that actually work for a living and do other things for a living and maybe aren't dedicated on their golf. And the U.S. Amateur includes, you know, everybody, college students, high school students, I mean, anybody that can get in. And what ends up happening is some of the better players in the country can't give it the time that the younger players can, and they're not as competitive. So the USGA, in their wisdom, came up with a great event, which basically just includes ages 25 and older. And they've given these amateurs a reason to find time to practice, a reason to find time to work on their games. And I think they've kept a lot of people in the game by doing that.
You know, it is a beautiful sight to go around to the other amateur tournaments like the Anderson and the Crump and the Travis and see, you know, guys that on Monday through Friday are stockbrokers, are bankers, are clockmakers, are lawyers, are teachers. They're going out there and playing on these great courses, playing in these story tournaments, some of them over 100 years old, you know, on hallowed grounds like Garden City and Pine Valley, courses that open their clubs, you know, private clubs that open their doors for the public to come out and watch these tournaments. It really is a heartwarming thing that inspires all amateur golfers, you know, even if you can't make it to play in one of these tournaments, to go out and see them. They really are a spectacle.
People really should see them, and people should aspire to be competitors in them because they're basically the best, you know, players in their age group, competitive players in their age group on a national scale. And anytime you can achieve a level that high in anything, I think it makes you feel pretty good. And to do it and raise kids and coach their games and make it to most of their games and live a life like everybody else at the same time, it's hard. It's not easy, But I'll tell you, it's very rewarding and very worthwhile.
Now, you've been working on something which is an extension of those values and those ideas that plays off of some great golf history in its own. You've been working on the Concession Cup. Tell us a little bit about what the Concession Cup is.
Okay, well, the first Concession Cup was an event at the Concession Golf Club in Bradenton, Florida, that pitted the top mid-amateurs, the top senior amateurs, and the top over 65 senior amateurs from the United States against the top in the same category from Great Britain and Ireland. And the first one was held in 2014, and it was a huge success. The whole concept started at the Concession Club, and it was really a playoff of what happened in 1969 in the match between Jack Nicklaus and Tony Jacklin to win the Ryder Cup. And what ended up happening at the end of the day is Tony Jacklin had a short putt, maybe a 2.5-footer, 3-foot, I don't know. I mean, I've heard different lengths, but I think it was 2.5 feet. And Jack Nicklaus conceded it, even though by conceding it, it meant a tie for the teams and not an outright victory for the United States in the Ryder Cup. As it turned out, they were defending champions in the Ryder Cup from the, 2 years earlier. So they did retain the Ryder Cup, but the gesture was very widely
gallant. It was a gallant gesture.
Yeah,
you know, something that we just don't see that in sports all that often. Gallantry has been lost in the age of commercialism and corporatism of the game.
Couldn't agree more. I go back to the days where, we call penalties on ourselves in the sport, and having worked in business, we'd have a different world if people called penalties on themselves every day. So
it would be for the better. It really would. You know, I lament as a lawyer that we sometimes have lost our officer of the court half of our identity, in favor of the zealous advocate of the client, and that we have to try to keep the pendulum swinging evenly and back towards center. But that's what makes golf such a terrific sport. I have some friends of mine that, look at me sideways and say, you guys have strange rules. And they've got a point. We do have some strange rules, like people can call in a violation if they see it. And, it might make a difference in the guy's score. Try doing that in a football game. Yes, hello. I'd like to talk to the commissioner. The center was offside on that 35 in the Pittsburgh-Dallas game, and Pittsburgh has all got to come back and punt that ball rather than continue their drive on the field. It just wouldn't work, But in golf, we just think a little differently, and a tie is not a bad thing, okay? Same thing in soccer. A tie is not such a bad thing. In chess, a tie can be a great thing, especially if you're playing the black pieces. You're trying to get away with a tie if you can. Sometimes the American mentality of there has to be a winner gets in the way of that sort of sportsmanship. And it is a gesture that has resonated through history of the sport now for 47 years. So what's going to happen at this year's Succession Cup?
Well, Mr. Nicklaus and Mr. Tony Jacklin have agreed to act as honorary captains. We'll be having a gala that'll be on the 19th of April, where they'll be present. It'll be hosted by Gary Koch, and Paul Azinger will be Gary will be the master of ceremonies, and Paul will be the host. And the whole intent is to really benefit the amateur game. The two teams have been chosen. If people want to see what's happening, everything is available on the 2016 Concession Cup website. There'll be an AM-AM on Wednesday, the 20th, which is almost full. I think there might be one or two more spaces available where the amateurs that, again, care about the amateur game will come out and play with the competitors in their groups and some celebrities. And then the opening ceremony starts on Thursday, the 21st. Last time around, we were opened by Tom O'Toole, who gave a nice talk. And this year, we have similar type dignitaries coming to observe what we're doing. And hopefully people will get interested in it and follow it.
What's the format of the tournament?
We have what we consider the top eight mid-amateurs from the United States, eight mid-amateurs from Great Britain and Ireland, eight senior amateurs over the age of 55 from the United States, eight senior amateurs from Great Britain and Ireland, and then two over 65 players. And the over 65 players are former Walker Cup players and or former national champions. And we play for a trophy, which is in the name of Sir Michael Benalik and William Campbell. And we approached both of them prior to the creating the matches. And they agreed that it was, you know, about time that there was a competition like the Walker Cup for lifelong players that don't play or don't intend on playing for a living ever. So
how are the players chosen? I'm sure there are many more that would want to play in this than there would be for spaces available. How do you guys pick the players that will ultimately compete?
Absolutely. We pick the top four in each of the two categories, the mid-am and senior category, off the World Golf Rankings. We've actually split out the mid-amateurs and senior amateurs out of the very comprehensive World Amateur Golf Rankings. And we actually even display on our website during the season who those top players are, either the top 5, top 10, or top 20, depending on what time of year it is. And the seniors are picked by the captains of, or the super seniors, rather, are picked by the captains of the team. And as I said earlier, they have to have either played on a Walker Cup and or won a national championship. Our captains this year are the same captains we had in 2014. Vinny Giles is the captain for the U.S. team, and Garth Majimpsey is captain for the GB&I team. These are serious matches. I mean, if you go and you look at the records of our players on our website, you'll see that these are national champions, but a lot of these fellows have played on the Walker Cup team, have played in U.S. Opens and Masters and British Amateurs and British Opens and have done well. And they care about the game at this level the same way that that they did when they were playing when they were younger.
Now, you mentioned one of the great names in golf when you were just giving us that excellent dissertation there. Vinny Giles. Tell everybody out there who might not know about what makes Vinny Giles such a great friend of golf.
Well, I mean, Vinny has done a lot in golf in a lot of different ways. I mean, Vinny, one of the greatest amateurs to play the game, probably in the top five as an amateur from this country, and won the U.S. Amateur, won the British Amateur, played on I don't know how many Walker Cup teams, at least four, but I think maybe more. He was captain of the Walker Cup. I think he's been low amateur in the Open and the Masters. Pretty good resume. And during all that time, he was raising two kids and running a very successful sports agency business, which represented some of the top golfers in golf at the same time. In fact, Vinny didn't play a lot of events where his players were playing because he didn't want to take you know, if he had a spot, he didn't want to take a spot away potentially from one of his players. So his record could have maybe even been even greater than it was. But the best part about Vinny Giles is he loves the game as much as anybody I've ever met. And he's not, you know, he knows what a great game it's been for him and his life and for others. So
it's a great way to spend your life being in this game. That's for certain. I'll say I had one of the great memories of my golf coverage career came when I got to watch Vinny Giles and Jay Siegel go head to head, mano a mano at Quail Ridge 1 year. And boy, they both shot 65 and 64. I think Jay edged him out by one shot. But talk about fireworks. That was one of the great mano a mano duels I've had a chance to witness.
And these are businessmen. I mean, and just to show you how good they are, and there's others like them, you know, maybe not to their level. You know, Jay went out on tour and, you know, he had an unbelievable career on the senior tour. After never really playing, you know, that kind of golf for, you know, the first 50 years of his life, you know, just playing amateur golf.
Sure, he had a long practice. I used to love watching his name climb up the leaderboard, the little small A and the hyphen next to his name. They don't do that anymore. When we were watching that amateur kid this weekend rise up the leaderboard, you didn't see the little denotation on the leaderboard that he was an amateur. You heard him say it during the broadcast, but I always used to cheer for when the amateur kids get on the leaderboard. It's always a beautiful thing. And it was nice to see that last week as well at the Innisbrook Copperhead. So before we let you go, tell us where else you're going to play this year. What great golf courses are you going to visit, and what can you recommend our listeners to go play?
Well, I'm going to try to make it down to Moraine just for fun in Dayton to see all the new work that they've done. A lot of people don't even know what Moraine Golf Club or Country Club is. But it's the golf course that Byron Nelson won the PGA on in 1945, in the year that he won 11 in a row. That was one of them. That's the only event they've ever had. They just did a big project there to recondition the golf course and you know, restore it. And I've only seen pictures, and it just looks spectacular. It was already spectacular to begin with, and I'll tell you what, that's one that in 10 years from now, I think people are going to be talking about it a lot more. And then as far as tournaments, you know, I play in our state. I still play a lot in our state stuff. I play in our state senior open. I play in our state mid-amateur. I sometimes play in our state amateur. I'm going to play in the Crump and the Coleman. I mean, I don't think there's two better tournaments, amateur tournaments for us working guys than those two. I might go to the George Thomas out at L.A., and I'm definitely going to play in the Transmiss Senior for the first time. One of the reasons is there's been a new golf association established called the Amateur Golf Alliance, and that's the association that sort of oversees the Concession Cup, and the Transmiss is in partnership with the Amateur Golf Alliance, and they're playing at a great course, old course down in Houston Country Club, and I'm very excited about that.
Well, good. Sounds like a fantastic year. We'll have to check in with you one more time before the year ends. And, you know, catch up on your Game of Thrones. Everybody, Alan Fidel.
You know, I just don't watch a lot of television, if you can believe it. But,
no, I can believe it. I don't watch a lot of television either. I watch one show. I watch Game of Thrones. That's it.
I might start. We did that. We did, there was a show on Boardwalk Empire. We started watching it and watched the whole thing through, and then we got into Homeland. So I've done a couple. So I'm gonna look it up.
Fantastic. Everybody, we're going to be back with our next guest in just a few minutes. Thank you, Alan, for coming on the show. I am Jay Flemma, and you're listening to Jay's Plays on the Golf News Net Radio Network.
That bump music means we're going to have to take a short break. Don't go away. We'll be back at the second half of the show in just a minute. This is your main man, DJ Q, and you're listening to Jay's Place on the Golf News Net Radio Network.